7. The killing of the demon Srinivarta. Text 17. Vipra mantra vira yukta thai ya prokta. It's prokta. See, in Sanskrit, there's something called sandhi. When the words get combined together or get next to another word, then the endings change. So it's prokta, but because it's next to the T, there's a whole declination of the sandhi and sandhi, therefore it becomes proktas. But just like if we want to say the definition of a word, then we'd say it according to the infinitive. So similarly it said prokta. Prokta.
Prokta.
Tata. Ashisha ta nisprala bhavishanti na kadachit api sputam. So what does kadachit mean? What's that? Yes, we have Sanskrit scholars here. Past, present, and future. And what does bhavishyanti mean? Yes, never will become. And nishpala? Yes, no fruits. Useless, without fruit. And mantra? Yes, purifies the mind. And vipra? Vipra? The Brahmas. Vipra mantra vido yuktas.
Vipra mantra vido yuktas.
Kaya proktas tata shisha.
Kaya proktas tata shisha.
Ta nishpala bhavishanti.
Ta nishpala bhavishanti.
Na kadachit api sputam.
Na kadachit api sputam.
The Brahmins.
Brahmins.
Mantra Vida.
Vida.
Completely expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. Yukta. Perfect mystic yogis. Tai. By them.
By
ya. Whatsoever. Prokta. Was spoken. Kata. Becomes just so. Ashisha, all blessings. Ta, such words. Nishpala, useless, without fruit. Bhavishanti, na, never will become. Kadachit, at any time. Api, indeed. Sputam, always factual.
As it is.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmins who were completely expert in chanting the Vedic hymns were all yogis, fully equipped with mystic powers. Whatever blessings they spoke were certainly never fruitless. Purport. Brahmins fully equipped with the brahminical qualifications are always yogis, fully powerful in mystic yoga. Their words never fail. In every transaction with other members of society, Brahmins are certainly dependable. In this age, however, one must take into account that the Brahmins are uncertain in their qualifications. Because there are no Jagat Brahmins, all Jagas are forbidden. The only Jaga recommended in this age is Sankirtan Jaga. Jagnai Sankirtana Prayar Yanti Hi Sumedha Sa. Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Jaga is meant to satisfy Vishnu. Jagnatat Karmano Nyatra Loko Yam Karma Bandana. Because in this age, there are no qualified Brahmins, people should perform jaga by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Jagnaya Sankirtana Prayar Yanti Hi Sumedasa. Life is meant for jaga, and jaga is performed by the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vipra Mantra Vido Yuktas Teryak Protas Tatashisha Tanishpala Bhavishanti Nakadachit Apisputam. The Brahmins who are completely expert in chanting the Vedic hymns are all yogis fully equipped with mystic powers. Whatever blessings they spoke were certainly never fruitless. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Puristai Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarane. Some more glorifications of the Brahmins. It is said, Namo Maha Vananaya Krishna Prima Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gurati She Namaha, that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it is possible to come to the highest platform of Krishna consciousness. But it is also said that Lord Krishna in his previous incarnation was a cowherd boy. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. And Lord Krishna is especially favorable towards the cows and towards the Brahmins. And here also it is explained that the Brahmins are not ordinary persons. They are the most advanced mystic yogis. As I've explained before, that to be a Brahmin is not to get simply a threat and then you become a Brahmin. Brahmin means Brahma Janatiti Brahmanaha. It means that one has actually understood what is Brahman. Janmana Jayate Shudra. When one is born, especially in Kali Yuga, one is born as a Shudra. And a Shudra means one identifies himself with the body, and because one identifies himself with the body, certainly he thinks himself to be in great difficulty all the time, because having a material body means being always in difficulty. There's Adiatmika Shakti, there's Adidaivika Shakti, Adivodika Shakti, or Klesha. These are the miseries caused by the body, caused by other living entities, caused by the demigods. There's always some kind of misery afflicting us in the material world. And besides that, there is birth, death, old age, and disease. So between all these miseries, one is certainly afflicted by them if he identifies himself with the body. And therefore, anyone who's born in the material world is certainly in a miserable condition. Unfortunately, because there's no training, people don't realize that there is no end to the misery simply by following a materialistic process. Therefore, Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskarat Bhavat Dvija, that by some process, the Vedic process, one can realize that there's another avenue of freedom from these problems of material existence. Nowadays they think that by a psychologist, by some pill, by some material manipulation, they can become free from their problems. As Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirana Krishne Paratatsatova Mito Vipadyeta Priha Vratana. Prahlad Maharaj doesn't agree. He says that anyone who's fixed in this bodily concept of life, all he'll have is problems. It doesn't matter how many books on self-help he studies. It doesn't matter how much advice he gets from others. Prabhupada used to say that the United Nations, they're getting together trying to solve the problems of the world, but actually every year, instead of uniting the nations, there's a few extra flags. Therefore, instead of becoming united, in the course of time, things becoming less and less united. And whether one takes self-help or help from others or confines it to others, as long as one keeps himself in this bodily concept of life, then his only activity is under Adanta Golbir Vishitanta Mizram, serving the senses, and the senses, there's no limit. Kamadi nam kati na katida palitas durni deshas tesha mayi jata na karuna no pashanti. There's no end to the demands of the senses. Therefore, they'll certainly drive one to Mizram, into the mode of ignorance. The more one identifies himself with the body, the more one serves the senses, then more and more one is more and more identified himself with the body. As we can see in modern human society, it is not the people becoming free from the bodily identification of life. Instead, nowadays, people fight over any identification. As I mentioned one time, even in Central America, there was a war between two countries over a football game. A war that started out in the football stadium. I guess someone must have made a foul or something, and there was a fight between the players, and then the audience joined in, and finally a war broke out between the countries. In Kali Yuga, anything's possible. Fighting over religion, fighting over, you know, our football team, our favorite singer, anything's possible. So this is certainly because of bodily identification. And punat punas charvita charvananam. It is simply the same thing over and over again. The same problems and no solution. That the only solution is somehow or another to come to another platform. So this is called dvija, one who at least realizes that there's another existence beyond simply temporary material existence. And one who's a little bit more intelligent than by studying the Vedas, Veda, Panta, Bhavat, Vipra, one becomes learned. Learned means one understands the different divisions of the Vedas, how the Vedas originally attract one to elevate oneself materially so that one develops faith in the Vedas. For instance, nowadays, people don't have any faith in general, that is, people in general don't have any faith in the Vedas. If you tell, they don't even know what Veda means. And if you tell them that about the scriptures, then either you meet a fanatical religionist from another religion, and he says that, you know, your scriptures from the devil, or they take the Vedas as some kind of mythological. If you're a scholar, they say, yes, we are studying the Vedas. We have the whole university studying the Vedas. But ultimately, they take it as something mythological, some quaint stories from some aborigines in some tribe in India, who finally were civilized by the Aryans when they invaded from Europe. But as far as real faith in the Vedas, that they should be studied in order to be practiced, very, very few people have such faith. Yakshastra vidim utsrija vartate kamakarata nasasti dima vatnoti nasukam naparam gitim. But if one doesn't have faith in the Vedas and he just act, then he'll be forced, kamakarata, he'll be forced to act according to his senses and his mental concoction. And he'll miss three things. Sukam, which is basically what everyone's looking for, namely happiness. Sidim, some perfection, getting out of all the problems of life to realize that we're not the body. And Aparamgatin, his next destination will be back in the material world again. So again, struggle against the inevitable time factor, which is causing all of us to grow old and die. Therefore, tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya yavyastito gyatva shastram vidanotam kamakarta miharasi. That one should know what is duty and what is not duty through the shastra. So, those who are intelligent in the vipras, or those who are twice born, some of them would study the Vedas and they'd understand what it was all about. The material world is meant to teach us how to get free from this bodily identification. And the perfection of life is that one would understand that he's Brahman. And that's called Brahman. Brahman janatiti brahmanaha. But who can understand these things nowadays? Who's even interested? If you tell people you're not their body, you're not your body, many people become insulted, as if you're criticizing them. You know, maybe you're not your body, but I can appreciate that you don't want to be your body, but I don't have so many problems like you do. And even so many religionists, they think, I mean, there's huge amount of persons, they think that the soul and the body are the same thing. And that when you leave your, at the end of life, when they put you in the ground, temporarily you're not there. But when the Lord comes, you rise up from the grave. And then you get your eternal material body. And then you can live forever in your body. And with all the other relatives. And enjoy your material life forever. In a perfect world of sense gratification. So many concoctions, so many ideas, but Brahma Janatiti Brahmanaha, one who actually has knowledge, he realizes that I am a spiritual being. That's called Brahman. And how does he come to that platform? He has to perform jaga. Just as Arjuna, he didn't want to fight on the battle of Kurukshetra. He wanted to act whimsically. So Krishna did not approve of that. Because jaga means to follow one's duty. This is the basic principle of any kind of advancement, material or spiritual. One has to follow his duty. So what is that duty? In the vanashram system, one has a duty according to one's psychophysical nature. But ultimately the duty is jaga vai Vishnu. One has to do something under Krishna's directions. Arjuna, he didn't want to fight. Therefore, he was considered an Arya, an uncivilized person. Of course, nowadays, people think civilized means you eat, you're a dead animal with a knife and fork. And you have a napkin, a bib on your, you know, a napkin on your collar. And you drink only, you know, expensive wine with a dead animal. Then you're considered to be civilized. So, an Arya, these people don't really understand what an Arya means. Uncivilized. But Arjuna was considered uncivilized because he didn't want to follow his duty. He didn't want to follow Krishna's instructions. But without following one's duty, one cannot rise to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there's no question of liberation. Knowledge means that one should understand the value of devotion. And unless one has knowledge, one will not really understand what devotion means. People think that they're devoted. But what kind of devotion? Just like nowadays, we can see that because people don't have any faith in God, or faith in God is diminishing, therefore they don't feel like they have any obligation towards anyone except for their senses. And the nature of the senses is that they're always changing. So one day you love your wife or you love your husband, and the next day you hate them. And because there's no God consciousness, the day you hate them, you just find another one. Prabhupada once remarked at a morning walk conversation, he said, yes, we read in the newspapers in Las Vegas, one lady, she had two husbands in 2 weeks. Of course, that was 20 years ago, so this isn't, you know, nothing. I'm sure the record has been broken quite a number of times since then. Hare Krishna. Because love and hate, this is all determined in material consciousness. I love you. You taste good one day, and the next day you don't taste so good. So I spit you out. So this is not the platform of tam titiksha svabharata. Krishna says, if you want to realize you're not your body, then you have to learn how to tolerate. Tolerance The Dikshasra is the basic principle of spiritual advancement. So unless one performs his duty, and one is generally given his duty, more or less according to what's convenient, what's the most likely to enthuse a person, because that it naturally fits into his psychophysical nature. But one still has to follow his duty. One time Prabhupada, there was one lady in Radha Damodar temple, an old lady when Prabhupada was there in the beginning of the 70s. Did you see her? She used to come by and water the tulsi plant every day without fail. And just by doing that, Prabhupada said she went back to Godhead. Every day she'd go to the Jamuna, get some Jamuna water, and come by the Radha Damodar temple and water the tulsi plant. And just by doing that regularly, every day, Prabhupada said she went back to the spiritual world. By doing one's duty, then one becomes undisturbed by the matra sparshas tukundiya, by the temporary changes of the senses and the mind. One remains undisturbed, and by such practice one can realize that I'm not my body. If one doesn't follow the dictations of the body and the senses, but remains, and the mind, but remains fixed in Krishna's service, then the result is he realizes that I'm not my body, nor am I my mind. And even Dhirya Statra Namuyati, at the end of leaving the body, he also remains undisturbed. He knows, my body is changing, but I'm not changing. Therefore, I remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. So that's possible by jaga. Jaga means that process by which Krishna is satisfied. Unfortunately, in the present age, there are no qualified Brahmins. Therefore, we can't sit down before the fire sacrifice and chant a mantra and suddenly ignite the fire. Then people would have some faith in us. I don't know anyone in our movement who can do it. But to do that is not ordinary. For instance, the Brahmins would have to be born by a qualified Brahmin father and mother. That means that they would have to be able to perform the Garbhadan Sanskar. And that's not simply a ritual ceremony. It means that to perform it properly, one would have to be a qualified Brahmin himself. A qualified Brahmin means, for instance, that you learn how to chant the Vedic mantras properly. And to do that, you have to learn how to pronounce each one of the Sparsha alphabet, or the whole Veda, the whole Sanskrit alphabet, perfectly. But that's not so easy. For instance, the letter A can be pronounced 19 different ways. And each way that you pronounce it has a different effect. Therefore, sometimes to learn how to pronounce one letter, it would take 6 months, a year. And then you have to learn how to pronounce the words, and you have to learn the grammar, you'd have to learn intonation, you'd have to learn astrology for the proper times, perform the sacrifices. So many things one would have to learn to become a qualified Brahmin. But they were so qualified, they'd chant a mantra, the fire for the sacrifice would be lit. They'd sacrifice a cow or horse in the fire, and the horse would walk out with a nice young body. Who can do that? It's not possible in this age. Therefore, people don't have faith because there are no qualified Brahmins. People would have faith, everyone would come to these ceremonies, they'd sit around, they'd watch it go on, just like nowadays they watch the football players. But they'd think, wow, what is the next amazing thing the Brahmin's going to do? And the Brahmins were so potent that sometimes, just like when Janmanjaya, he became disturbed that his father, Parikshit Maharaj, had been killed by the snakes. Therefore, he had the Brahmins perform a sacrifice, and all the snakes from all over the universe were coming into the fire and being burned. So just imagine the television program, you know, it would be, everyone would tune in, you know, see all the different snakes, Vasuki, huge snake, puff, being burned. And then finally he said, let Takshaka come and be burned too. So Takshaka was a huge snake. And he was going to be thrown into the fire. So many different things. Even when Prithu Maharaj was performing his sacrifice, his 100th Ashvamedha Jagga, then Indra stole the horse. And after stealing the horse, there was Prithu Maharaja's son tried to get the horse back, and he got it back, etc. Finally became frustrated with Indra. They said, let Indra be the sacrifice, be thrown into the sacrifice. And the Brahmins were so powerful that Indra was falling into the fire. Such was the power of the Brahmins by learning how to chant the mantras. And maybe in this age, like when we have a nice gurukul, we can teach the children how to chant such mantras. Then we'll certainly be respectful to the children when they grow up. Because even a boy 10 years old, Sringhi, he's able to curse Prakshit Maharaj. He just said a few things, and it was going to happen. Whatever the Brahmin said would happen. That's the power of properly chanting mantras. Even the Kshatriyas, who are not so qualified, they could produce by their astras all kinds of incredible effects. Just by chanting a mantra, they throw their arrow or a blade of grass, whatever was around, and a mountain would appear. Or there would be a hurricane. Or a brahmastra to destroy the whole universe. That was the Kshatriyas, and they weren't even considered, compared to the Brahmins, to be very civilized. The Brahmins are so potent that just by chanting some mantra in a loud voice, they could kill the Kshatriya, like King Venu. In this age, the conclusion is, especially for right now, the only sacrifice that's possible that gives any effect whatsoever is the Sankirtan Jagga, the chanting of the holy names. Therefore, we should not take the Harinam as something ordinary. It's the only opportunity for people in general to do anything auspicious. Practically speaking, everything else that they're doing winds up to be inauspicious. Their charity is inauspicious. Their so-called sacrifice is inauspicious. Their penance is inauspicious. If they perform it, I don't know, what is the penance that they perform nowadays? Is there any religious penance that people perform? Some places they do. They go to some holy place and visit some shrine. But most people don't do that. Their penance is that they work like, an animal trying to make money. That's their sacrifice. Their penance is that they hardly get anything to eat. They have no time to eat. They eat on the run. You see down the street, people walking down the street, with a hot dog in their mouth, eating it. They have no time to eat. They have no time to, they stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning. They have no time to sleep. They're completely bewildered. There's no, in this age, there's no austerity, there's no penance, there's no sacrifice. There is only some attempt to squeeze some happiness out of this body, temporary body. And generally, it all winds up to be a complete failure. Therefore, everything inauspicious is increasing. But if the devotees are kind and merciful, then they spread the Sankirtan Jagga by distributing transcendental literature to give people some idea how the universe goes on, what the laws of nature are. Just like, for instance, if you're riding down the street, there may be policemen there, and if you know that there's policemen, then you slow your car up. Who's the fool who finds out that there's a policeman on the road trying to, stopping speeders, who finds out, just like when we were in Poland, I guess at most places, especially in Poland, they start blinking the lights when you're going by a speeding place where they're, what are they called, speed traps? In America they call it speed traps, where they're trying to catch you for speeding. So who's the fool? He hears that there's a speed trap up ahead and he speeds up. He knows the police are there. I better slow up or else I'll get arrested. I'll be punished. Similarly, these books, these are like the law books of the universe. When you find out that Maya, she's capturing people who are speeding down material existence, then you decide to slow up a little bit. Follow the laws of nature, or else you get caught and you'll be punished. The whole thing is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And to understand the value of the Hare Krishna mantra, Tapasya Brahmacharyena, Samena Cha, Damena Cha, Vyagena Sakya Sotrabhyam, Damena Niyamena Va. That one has to perform some tapasya. Some kind of, what is tapasya means, to get into the fire. To get heated up. Tapa means to get heated. So heated means to, or we say in the fire, become enthusiastic in higher consciousness. So in this age, the tapasya is chanting our rounds. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just like Lord Brahma, his tapasya, he sat on a lotus flower for 1,000 years of the demigods and simply meditated on tapa. And finally, Lord Vishnu, within his heart, Narayan, revealed himself, enlightened him. Tene Brahma Hridaya, yad adi kavaye muyanti yad surya. Similarly, in this age, we have no capacity to do any kind of tapasya, practically speaking. We cannot do the tapasyas to become tolerant as they did in the previous ages, surrounding ourselves with fire and sitting in the middle of the fire during the summer, or going into the water up to our necks in the freezing cold winter. Could you imagine what the publicity would be? That the Hare Krishnas in the middle of winter, they cut a hole in the ice and they're all there, you know, entering into the water with some strange beads, and they're chanting their rounds there. So we couldn't do it anyhow. They arrest us, put us in jail. So this is not possible in this age, these type of tapasyas. And by this tapasya, then brahmacharyena, then it's possible to follow the regular principles. And samena, damena cha, samena cha. And learn how to control the mind and the senses. And when the mind and the senses can control, then they can be fixed in Krishna's service, in Krishna consciousness. And the tapasya that's recommended in this age is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one should know that it's only by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra without offense that there's any possibility of making any advance in spiritual life. And to do that, there are so many rules and regulations, so many different parts of our philosophy, all to help us so we can eventually chant Hare Krishna and associate with Krishna in that way. Be able to enter into the spiritual world in the same way as Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma got Krishna's mercy not by his power, but by his determination to follow Krishna's instructions. Krishna said, chant tapa. Krishna is not telling us to chant tapa. He's asking us to chant Hare Krishna. And if we follow that, and we do what's necessary so we can chant offenselessly, then Krishna within our heart, he's very merciful. Tesham eva nukam paratam aham agyanajam tamaha. Then within our heart, he'll gradually take away the modes of ignorance and passion, and we'll be able to understand the value of the Hare Krishna mantra. We'll be able to understand the value of Krishna consciousness. Gradually, Krishna will bring us to the brahminical platform by determination to chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. Although, as Prabhupada mentioned, there is, in the future, perhaps we'll try to establish vana and ashram within society in general, because it's very unlikely they'll be able to, if things are too disturbed, if they can't get anything to eat, then it's very unlikely they'll be interested in chanting Hare Krishna. But if people are put in, if the situation is peaceful, then they may have some ability to hear, and if they can hear, then they may be able to accept the process of Krishna consciousness. Although it's very simple, but it's too simple if people are to understand, if people's minds are disturbed. But for now, our main business is spreading the Krishna consciousness movement and becoming Krishna conscious ourselves through chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then we'll realize how sweet Krishna is, how sweet devotional service is. When we realize that, we'll realize the value of the Hare Krishna mantra, which enables us to associate with Krishna and to please Him, and that's such a simple way. As Rupa Goswami said, if only I had thousands of ears so that, and thousands of tongues, then maybe I can chant the Hare Krishna mantra in such a way that the sound vibration will enter into my heart. And when it enters into my heart, when Krishna is there dancing, then all my senses become inert. Everything becomes absorbed in Krishna. And Prabhupada said that for us to chant 16 rounds is a great tapasya. In any case, we should try and chant our 16 rounds, follow the principles, and gradually Krishna, when He sees our sincerity, He'll enlighten us within the heart, and this way we'll make gradual progress towards our real goal of life, which is to fall in love with Krishna. Prema Pumartha Mahant. Thank you very much. Are there any questions, comments? Yes.
I forgot to read my Bible in his books, Maharaj, but some of my brother said that everyone should chant some of Hare Krishna mantra, and Lord, he also mentions Vidur Nrisimha Rao, Bharatan Nrisimha Rao, because he says one never knows what may happen in the next life. So what does Sri Prabhupada exactly mean? Why does he not say, for instance, we should only chant Hare Krishna?
Because Nam Namakari Bahudani Disarva Shaktis Tatrapitani Mayatas Marane Nakala Etadrishi Kripa Bhagavan Mamati Durdaivam Idrishami Hajani Naru Rugaha. Krishna is so kind, He's come in so many different names. And He's invested all His potency in each one of these names. Some people will be attracted by Krishna, others by Rama, others by Nrisimhadev. So they should chant those names. Jehovah, Allah, Yahweh.
Sometimes we have to choose between performing one duty and another duty, or for our duty. Sometimes they sort of cross over. Like, for example, we have to get enough sleep, but also we have to attend the morning program, so sometimes.
Getting enough sleep is not our duty.
Because one has to sleep enough, not too much.
But compared to, at least in general, according to Prabhupada's instructions, He said that you have to chant your rounds. And the devotees would complain that we don't have enough time, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, but you seem to have enough time to eat and sleep. So not that we recommend. I don't recommend, especially as a minister of health. You don't get enough sleep. But generally speaking, atyahara priyasascha prajalpa nimagraha, we have to adjust our lives so that we can think of Krishna. That's our purpose. We have to understand what is the purpose of our lives. Therefore, Prabhupada said He's giving us so many duties to do, just so we can help us think of Krishna. If my life is so disturbed, so irregular that I can't think of Krishna, it doesn't matter what I do. Whether I come to the program or I sleep, if I don't think of Krishna, then it's useless. Niyamagraha. Therefore, I have to intelligently arrange my life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, I can't help but think of Krishna. To help that, we should get enough sleep, and we should also not priyasas. We should not over-endeavor. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.